You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 156 years ago on this day, a husband died. And his grieving wife wore black from that very day until her own death 40 years later. That is the story of Britain's Queen Victoria and her husband, the Prince Consort Albert. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell is with us. Now, that was quite a public display of grief, wasn't it?
It was. It really mirrored and presaged Princess Diana's death some 20 years ago. It was a great outpouring of grief by the British people.
And certainly the Queen. I mean, we think of her, those pictures, this kind of dour woman dressed in black. And
the widow of all widows.
The widow of all widows. So Prince Albert died in Windsor Castle 156 years ago today. What was wrong with him?
Well, this is where it gets interesting, because for decades, the thought was that he died of typhoid fever.
Yes, I've heard
that. He may well have died of typhoid fever. Doctors have sparsed the incubation time, the illness, and so on and so forth. But it does not seem unlikely. But then there was this notion, well, the prince couldn't possibly have drunk tainted water. Mm. And typhoid fever is salmonella. It's a GI infection, a gastrointestinal infection from eating food or water that is tainted with that microbe.
And of all people to not have tainted food or water, you would think the highest level of royalty in England
didn't work out so well that way. And in fact, you know, in history, Teddy Roosevelt's mother, very wealthy woman, died of typhoid fever nearly 60-odd years after Prince Albert. So sewage was not,
not well handled
and not necessarily, class did not necessarily protect you against it. So it could have been typhoid fever. He was sick for a long time, almost a month. He had a lot of GI complaints. He had fevers. And he had one of the world's expert on typhoid fever, a man named William Jenner, who diagnosed typhoid and saw the rash, the classic rose-colored rash of typhoid fever, about 8 days into his illness. Now, here's the interesting thing. When doctors are experts in a particular thing, they tend to see that particular thing all the time.
The blinders are on.
Right. Mm. You have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
You hire a typhoid expert, everything looks like typhoid.
Yeah.
Another one of his doctors, James Clark, was John Keats' doctor. We talked about him some time ago. And so he gets a bad rap for not caring well for John Keats. And frankly, he ought to get a bad rap for not caring well for Prince Albert, because both patients died.
he doesn't have a good batting average.
Right, right.
And you also note in your column for PBS that a few weeks before the prince died, he kind of went into a terrible funk.
Yeah, this was really weird. So according to a biography of Queen Victoria, and this biographer was quoting Queen Victoria, she said that Prince Albert said, you know, I really don't care if I live or die. You love life. I would be fine knowing that I was going to die if my family was well cared for. I'm not clinging to life. And this was before he actually became ill. Now, this brings up why armchair diagnosticians like to think about Prince Albert having something other than typhoid fever, something more chronic.
Like what?
Well, he could have had Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or some kind of malignancy of the GI tract. His mother died of stomach cancer, for example. And he could have been ill for a long period of time. And then other people talk about the temperament of people with Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. I don't subscribe to that, really. I think it's more of a physiological or pathological problem than a psychological one. But he may have been sick for a long time and not feeling well. And if you don't feel well physically, you can often not feel well mentally.
And I found it very interesting that when Dr. Jenner thought he found that pink rash that might indicate typhoid, Victoria said, don't tell him he had a horror of fever.
Yeah. Well, he did. He had a horror fever and he was terrified, and rightly so. And typhoid was extremely common. And this is a common theme in medicine well into the 1950s and 60s in America, as well as in England and other places in the world, that the patient was not told about his or her illness because they might not be able to bear it. Now imagine not telling somebody what they had and the ethical quandary that puts the physician or the nurses or the other caregivers in that. And this was pro forma. This was the way it was done. And so you will probably know relatives. We're old enough to know relatives who may have had cancer or something else, and they were not told of that diagnosis. But here's the rub that I found in my own experience as a physician. people tend to know. When they're very ill, patients tend to know. So it's probably best to tell them the truth.
A good lesson from the death of the Prince Consort Albert 156 years ago this day. Thank you so much, Dr. Howard Markel.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.